If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer, the greatest tag team wrestler of all time, Bully Ray, and I talk about Monday Night Raw from last night. Right from the beginning, we have the biggest heel in the company, Randy Orton, that's getting even more heat and hate without even saying a word. Also, we get into Brock Lesnar. Brock, John Cena said in Sports Illustrated, he's the best in-ring performer ever. We talk about Brock as we get closer and closer to WrestleMania 36. And unfortunately, I have to talk about one of the biggest POSs in pro wrestling right now, MJF, who actually gives a call in after something he said on social media about my wife. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Bully, and quite honestly, like, you and I get into it a lot about social media and how people have muscles when it comes to social media, or people don't have respect when it comes to social media, and people feel like they could say whatever they want when it comes to social media. And obviously for me and my family, that was something that happened last night. And I quite honestly, Bully, those who know, but I don't even feel like giving this certain individual time on the air, to be quite honest with you, because we're coming off a Monday Night Raw. We're on the road to WrestleMania, and I honestly just don't want to talk about it. That's how pissed off and upset that I am. I don't even. This isn't fake. I'm not going on some kind of LaGreca rant and yelling and screaming, because this hits close to home. And when you talk about my family, in particular my wife, who, you know, Bully, as you know her, great woman, a wonderful person. She doesn't deserve to be thrown in to some stupid Twitter battle, if you want to call it that. And quite honestly, like, I feel like as a radio personality, I like to talk about my family, but obviously maybe that's something that I can't do on this show, because certain people, certain individuals feel like that could be used in some kind of social media fodder, so to speak. So yes, I'm not in a good mood coming off of what happened and transpired on social media last night.
Well, then what do you say we just get into Raw if you don't want to talk about
it? Yeah, if you don't mind. I mean, a lot of people want to hear about it. I quite honestly just want to move on and get into, do our jobs and get into Monday Night Raw.
Did you like Raw?
I did. I actually really liked Raw. And Bully, quite honestly, coming off of what we saw on Friday, and you and I spoke on the phone over the weekend how, man, Friday night was a tough watch. There's no emotional investment. It just doesn't seem like it's coming off and getting you ready for WrestleMania. I think it's the complete opposite, Bully, when you talk about Monday Night Raw and what we watched last night.
Especially last night. And my God, I mean, hats off, round of applause, standing ovation to that Salt Lake City crowd.
Yes.
First of all, for showing up in droves. I mean, we were joking around yesterday about possibly having an empty arena Raw last night. And, you know, with the state of emergency that they declared there because of the bad storm, those people in Salt Lake City were not going to be stopped last night. They got to the show. And not only they got to the show, but they got their money's worth in the ring, and I think the WWE got their money's worth from the crowd. Last night was a great example of what happens when a great crowd and a great program come together. Those people paid their hard-earned money to see a show, and they were going to have a great time no matter what. And they were on fire right from the opening of the show, and how could you not be when the very first person you see come through that Titantron is Randy Orton? And there's heat, and there's thermonuclear heat, and then there's Randy Orton heat. And Randy Orton has tremendous heat right now. This is the type of heat that wrestlers yearn for, because it doesn't come around very often. This type of heat is like Halley's Comet every 76 years or so. I saw something on social media last night that I didn't even have to screen cap because it was so brief. I just kind of memorized it. You know, I put out a tweet last night that said, you know, I don't give out star rankings on matches. I give out heat rankings. And last night was a five flame, you know, performance by Randy Orton. And somebody commented on it and he goes, "What are you talking about? He didn't even say anything." Exactly. That's the point. He didn't even say anything, and that crowd wanted his head on a silver platter. When you can go out there, I've said this on the show before, Dave, when you can go out there and just stand there and not say a word and not do a move and not move a muscle, when you can garner that kind of heat or that kind of shine just from standing there, you have done something right. And Randy Orton has ridiculous heat right now that I believe he will carry all the way to WrestleMania.
Well, a couple of things from what you said, because you said a lot there, Bully, and you're absolutely right and hit the nail right on the head. First of all, with that Salt Lake crowd, because you actually said it near the end of the show yesterday that there were reports of severe weather. Weren't even sure if they were able to get a show off. And then I guess like a couple hours before the show, they said that the show was going to go on. And I wasn't sure what kind of crowd we were going to see. When you even said, "Hey, be safe, don't take any chances." Man, not only was that a big crowd last night in Salt Lake, but a boisterous crowd that was into it and having fun. And man, you talk about pro wrestling taking it to a next level. That WWE crowd, that WWE universe last night did just that, fighting through the elements to be at that show. And when you fight through the elements like they did, you want to make sure that you have a good time and buy into everything that's going on. And they certainly did that last night. And then you mentioned Randy Orton. Kind of hard not to buy into what Randy Orton's doing now. You mentioned SmackDown from Friday, not a lot of emotional investment. You said the only thing you're really into is Otis and Mandy Rose, and I agree. When Randy Orton stepped into that ring, and you said it, he didn't need to say one word. That crowd was booing the hell out of him and buying into everything that he was doing. And I didn't see smiles on anyone's faces. I didn't see anyone cheering Randy Orton. There is so much emotional investment with Randy Orton and with Edge that you got the reaction, and you said it. That's like Halley's Comet. That only comes around so often. And I honestly thought, Bully, the 48-year-old, you know, kind of jaded wrestling fan thought, man, these days are gone. To get that kind of reaction, you just don't see it anymore. And I couldn't be more wrong, because you got all of that last night at the beginning of that show.
Last week, we talked about the two most powerful emotions in the world, let alone the world of wrestling, and that's love and hate. And last night, you got to see what love and hate can do for a wrestling rivalry, a storyline, an angle. People love Edge. People hate what Randy Orton did to Edge. Thus, they hate Randy Orton. It's very simple. When you have a foundation for a storyline that they poured last week and this week, I can't wait to see the house that they built that will culminate, and the story that they build that will culminate at WrestleMania. Some people were comparing the volume of the booing last night to that of Roman Reigns on Monday Night Raw, the night after he beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Big difference here. Why were the people booing Roman?
People were booing Roman because their hero, The Undertaker, lost in a match which we thought at the time was going to be his last match ever.
They weren't really booing Roman because they hated Roman. They hated the situation. And thus they took it out on Roman, and it was extremely audible. Last night, different story. They were booing Randy Orton because they despise him for what he did to a Hall of Famer who came back from a horrible neck injury and now is going to put his body on the line once again. And before it even gets a chance to get off the ground, it might have all come to a crashing halt because of one really stiff concerto.
And we've witnessed this. Chris Jericho is great at this, where he can get that crowd to turn at the drop of a dime. Randy Orton, just a couple of weeks ago, was getting all the cheers, the RKO chants. Everybody loves the RKO. When he goes to that middle rope and he does that pose. And I love last night how he almost teased that. Like, he was about to do what everybody loves. That's the money picture. Everybody loves when he goes to that second rope and does that pose, and everybody takes out the cell phones and takes the pictures. When he teased that last night, the boos got even louder, meaning that, hey, pal, there is nothing you can do, and there's nothing you can say. There is no excuse given here. We hate you. We hate what you did. And that takes somebody that's as good as Randy Orton to pull something like that off.
And if you noticed, he was very deliberate in his movements. He was very deliberate with everything that he did, and everything meaning nothing. In wrestling, you always want to slow down. You want to slow down to the point where people can understand every single thing that you're doing. You want the audience to be able to digest everything that you're trying to feed them storyline-wise. Every time Randy Orton picked that microphone up to his mouth, those people booed him out of the building. He was able to rattle off a couple of words, every twitch in his face, every pensive moment that came over his face. He looked like he was talking to himself at times. There are the voices in his head. Everything came together last night. And I'm hopeful that they continue to go down the road with him. I'd have him do what he did last night week after week after week. I would never let him get those words out of his mouth. And I would soak it in, and I would run with it for a while.
And here's the thing, Bully. There's really nothing he could say that could add to what we saw last night. I mean, even if he tore Edge down, and it's silence was golden last night, because the fans want an explanation. Randy Orton is somebody that the fans have adored. They're hoping that there is some sort of explanation to kind of explain what took place. So the fact that he's not even giving you that, the fact that he's just being completely quiet and silent and isn't even telling the fans they're not even worthy of an explanation, the best thing, like you said, Bully, is to be complete silent. There is nothing you can add that's going to add any more hate to how the fans feel about him right now.
And I'll give you an example. You brought up a great point about if you can't add to it, if you can't top it, then just lay out. I remember one time early in me and Devon's WWE career, we hit a 3D on somebody, and then we started putting the boots to them. And Vince pulled us on the side immediately, and he goes, "What are you doing?" You know, and I didn't really get what he was talking about. He goes, "You're already 3D'd him. Why would you put the boots to him? You can't top the 3D, so why would you put the boots to him?" Learned a huge lesson right there. And last night, it wasn't about a move. It was about last week's move. You couldn't top what you did physically last week. You didn't have to do anything physical this week because there's nobody to do anything physical with. And there's really nothing that you're going to be able to say. Lay out. Let the memories of what happened do the talking. Let the people just soak into you. Let the people feel the heat that's coming off of you. And that's all the story you're ever going to need.
Yeah, it's perfect. And right now, he is without a doubt the most hated man in the WWE. As a matter of fact, you could say that there's nobody been this hated in the WWE in years, and the right way. Because you bring up Roman Reigns, and people love to boo Roman Reigns, but it was for the wrong reasons. Now you actually have a heel that is universally hated, and it's for the right reasons, and it's going to lead you, Bully, to a match at WrestleMania 36. So sure, we all got busy schedules and don't have time to spend hours at the gym. That's why there's F45, a 45-minute group workout that's effective as it is fun. F45 sweat-dripping, heart-pumping, high-intensity workouts merge three leading-edge fitness training styles into a functional training experience unlike any other. This experience, accessible to all fitness levels, is built on innovation, motivation, and results that creates an environment in which goals are met and exceeded. Whether your goal is to lose weight, build muscle, create healthy habits, or meet fitness-minded friends, F45 has something for everyone. Once you take your first F45 class, you'll be hooked. The pulsing, upbeat, team training atmosphere will make you feel welcome, and our thousands of exercise combinations will keep you guessing every day. So, are you ready to find your nearest studio and join the F45 global fitness community? Dial #250 on your cell phone and say F45 membership. They'll send you a location link directly to your phone. That's #250, keyword F45 membership.
Nothing was done. Fans wouldn't even let him get a couple of words out. It's great heat. I don't know what more I could possibly say about it. Because when you whittle this all down to its, you know, to its foundation, to what wrestling is all about, it's about emotions. It's about the good guys and the bad guys, the black hat versus the white hat. And Randy is definitely the black hat in this scenario. You hate him for what he did. And you said something in that first segment that I forgot to say, but it was so true, and I'm glad you brought it up. There were no smiles on people's faces. People weren't booing, but smiling. They weren't enjoying Randy Orton's heel work, like we talk about on the show. They were genuinely mad at Randy Orton. They took it out on him, as he deserved.
I think, Bully, and we get caught up in this a lot. You and I talk about it. You and I have had many discussions about it. And I think the WWE, in this instance, should learn a lesson. Because I think they feel that the fan in 2020 is a certain way. And I think in a lot of ways, fans have become accustomed to certain things. Like you mentioned, the five-star match, the lights-out promo. And a lot of people judge by mic work and in-ring work. And you know what? Sometimes it's situational things like what we're seeing with Randy Orton and Edge. Like you said, there's no promo that's lights-out. There's no five-star match. People are getting emotionally invested because they care about the figures that are in that ring.
Dave, watch this. Take Randy Orton. I'm sorry. Take Edge out of the equation. Insert babyface A, whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what other babyface you could put in there that would have generated the same amount of heat.
I can't. There's no way that comes to mind.
Give me a baby face that's so loved.
I can't.
I'm sure we could pick a baby face that it would work with, but not to the extent that it worked with Edge.
No.
And this is what I always talk about. Complete opposite ends of the spectrum. When you can get somebody that fans are so emotionally attached to because of what he's done in the ring and how he's put his body on the line and what he's done for the wrestling industry, and as Randy said, what he did for him. When you have a guy that's so endearing and endeared and respected and loved by the fans, they are going to be angry, annoyed, pissed off, and show it. When somebody like Randy Orton does what he did.
And here's why, Bully, and what you said is spot on. And this is not a knock. I don't want anyone to take this as like it's a knock of the current roster, because it's not. But we do know that probably 90% of this roster have jumped from face to heel, have jumped from somebody that you love to somebody you hated. Plus, 90% of this roster on both Raw and SmackDown, you see on a weekly basis. With Edge, it's a beloved personality and character, A. Hall of Famer, has the respect of everybody. C, it's somebody that you haven't seen in the ring in 9 years. So all those factors come into play. You haven't, and you throw in the fact that he was injured and he came back from an injury, and this is why we haven't seen him. And Randy Orton went after that neck and went after that injury. You put that all together, you're getting what has now been an amazing segment 2 weeks in a row on Monday Night Raw. To answer your question, Bully, no, there is nobody else that you see on a weekly basis that you can put into that role and it would work the way that it's working right now with Edge and Randy Orton. I'm sorry, there's nobody.
And because of the damage that the RKO did, I mean, the Concerto did more damage than the RKO. But if there was ever a time where if they did it the right way, you could build to a no-holds-barred match, you could do it. Because somebody could come out and bar the RKO. Now, if you bar the RKO, you run the risk of the people turning on you and crapping all over that. But, like, if there was a commissioner, if there was a Jack Tunney around, and this really wouldn't fit a McMahon, I could see somebody coming out and saying, after what you did, you know, you possibly destroyed the career of a Hall of Famer whose career was already destroyed once before. That RKO is entirely too dangerous, yada, yada, yada. Therefore, there will be no more RKO. And then a week before Mania, Edge shows up and he says, nah, screw that. If I'm going to beat you, I'm going to beat you the right way. You use the RKO, no holds barred. That's just a quick idea that comes to the top of my head. I don't think they're going to go that route because I don't think barring the RKO is a good idea. But I'm just making a case for a no-holds-barred match when the stipulation actually means something.
Yeah, and Bully, I think the scenario that you and I brought up last week is the perfect one, whereas you're in doubt. You don't know if Edge is actually going to be able to participate in another match again. We lost you. We lost Edge again. It took this long for him to fight back, and now we've lost him again. And that's in doubt. Randy Orton comes out every week. He wants Edge in the ring, and you really are not sure if he's going to be able to pass any kind of test to get into the ring with somebody like Randy Orton. And I think, again, great job by the WWE, because it takes patience by the WWE. Sometimes they lack the patience, and they like to throw something out there right in front of you the next week. Keep Edge off of TV as long as possible. If you see him, it's in some kind of interview segment where he's at home. But keep him out of the ring on Monday Night Raw as long as humanly possible.
And I'm going to reiterate, in my opinion, the WWE needs to get everybody in the WWE on board with their hatred for Randy Orton. They have plenty of time to get this done, but like week after week, we should be seeing more of these crowds despise Randy Orton for what he did. Now I want to hear from the wrestlers in the back, and this is what will be able to carry us all the way to WrestleMania. I want to hear I want to hear every single wrestler call Randy Orton out for the piece of shit that he is for what he did to Edge. Because if you have every wrestler in the back, in the locker room, saying that Randy Orton is a low-down, dirty son of a bitch for what he did, I'm going to believe it even more. Now you pepper in people like Christian. You pepper in his wife. You pepper in people from his past. Maybe a Matt Hardy. Maybe a D-Von. If anybody's going to stick up for a guy like Edge, a Matt Hardy, a D-Von, maybe Zack Ryder and the Edgeheads. People from his past all getting in Randy's face saying, you know what you did was wrong. And Randy punts every single one of them in the face. Or Randy RKOs every single one of them. This is about heat, heat, heat. And just when you think you have enough heat, you get more heat until the week before Mania, you bring Edge back and you make the match. I don't want to see Edge until a week before Mania.
I agree with you, and they need to be patient here. You also mentioned his wife, Beth Phoenix. Like we talked about, awesome job on NXT for her to address it right off the top of the show. Right off the top of the show, she's like, listen, I'm pissed off, I'm angry, I'm upset, I'm worried about my husband. That's my husband that I'm talking about right now. But you know what? I have a job to do, I'm going to let it go, and I'm going to do my job. Christian never talked about it on WWE backstage. That needs to be rectified tonight on WWE Backstage. I'm not asking him to rant and rave for the whole hour of the show, but he needs to address it at the top of the show. like the same way Beth Phoenix did last week. They have to take a page of that. Because you know what, Bully? It has to go across all platforms. All platforms. You know, whether it's The Bump, whether it's like backstage interviews, whether it's NXT, other shows, and WWE backstage. This needs to be addressed on every WWE platform.
So just curious, sorry to go down this road, but if you're so adamant about Christian having to address this situation, how come you won't address the situation from last night with MJF?
Oh, Bully, you said his name.
I'm just, you're like Christian. This is like the second or third time I heard you say that Christian has to acknowledge what happened. But if you're going to say that, how could you not acknowledge what happened last night?
I mean, Bully, I mean, you're talking about a pro wrestling product like WWE and something that we know is predetermined because they're having it go towards whatever's going to take place at WrestleMania 36. Big difference between a storyline with Randy Orton and Edge, and you mentioned his name, MJF, talking about my wife on social media. I mean, there's a big difference between the two.
Okay, so you're saying one is part of a show and one is real life, and so now you just made your case even worse because you won't defend your wife real life on a real show.
I was trying to be professional.
I'm just saying, if you want Christian to talk about it, why won't you talk about it?
Do you want me to use this valuable time to talk about something personal between somebody and somebody else? I mean, I don't even – does our fans even want to hear about this?
I have no idea. You brought it up at the top of the show.
I brought it up at the top of the show because I'm angry. I'm upset. And you asked me a question. So I answered your question and I moved on. What's your obsession with me talking about something that happened on social media with a piece of shit, fucking piece of human garbage like MJF, actually talking about my wife and you and I trying to do a show talking about Monday Night Raw?
I have no obsession about it. You brought it up at the top of the show, and you want answers from Christian, but you don't want to give answers on what happened last night with MJF and your wife.
Because
kind of hypocritical and contradictory, if you ask me.
I mean, this is a show that's supposed to be entertaining. Do you want me to just air my dirty laundry out? If you want me to air my dirty laundry out on the show, I'll air my dirty laundry out on the show. If you want to make this show about me, I'll make it about me. I'll talk about the piece of shit for 3 hours. And what I would like to do to him if I ever cross paths with the guy. If that's the route you want to go.
You talk about whatever you want to talk about. You know what? As a man, do what you feel is right.
So to fill everybody in, because obviously I'm not getting any kind of compassion from the people that I work with. Because you just love poking the bear. You, Bully. You, Alex. And you, Gabby.
I didn't say anything.
No, let me tell you. All right, let me fill you in on what took place last night, because obviously the way that you're looking at the what? Why are you looking at me with that confused face?
Because we just went to break 60 seconds ago talking about Raw, and now all of a sudden you come back out of nowhere after you said you didn't want to talk about this stuff, and now you want to talk about it?
Yeah, because it needs to be addressed.
I think it was the song.
It needs to be addressed because when Gabby's playing some bitch song about me being a bitch, and Alex is making bets, and you are making these sly, sarcastic comments under your breath every single minute, and obviously a lot of people of the nation are talking on social media. So you know what? You want it, you got it. So let me fill you in on exactly what happened last night. All right? So I send out a text about the Cody and MJF matchup on Wednesday.
A text or a tweet?
A tweet. I send out a tweet, okay? Excuse me. My promo's not going to be pristine because I'm actually emotional. Unlike the lines that are fed to Charlotte on a weekly basis.
I just want our listeners to understand what you're talking about, because you're going to get all flustered and trip over your words like you just did. So you sent out a tweet. Continue, Dave.
So I sent out a tweet, Bully, a tweet. About the matchup, about the lashes that MJF is going to give Cody on Dynamite on Wednesday. Because honestly, I'm intrigued. I'm interested about what's going to take place on Wednesday, as I do all the shows. I mean, God forbid I talk about one show and I'm not talking about another at the same time, but I digress. So I send out the tweet, and then, you know what? I also, MJF made a remark about, you know, about what he's going to do to my boy, Cody Rhodes. And I call Cody, I mean, I call MJF human filth. Because he's human filth. And now I might be sending out that tweet because I actually think MJF is human filth. But I got to be honest with you, that was not my intent. I was kind of just like playing along with the story, playing along with what's going to take place on Dynamite on Wednesday night. All right? So I call him human filth because you know what? As a pro wrestling host on this show, I figured it's kind of fun to buy into the story and play along every once in a while. Don't have to always get behind the scenes. Play along with the story. I thought it'd be fun. And then MJF sends out a tweet, and I'm not even going to read the tweet. But MJF sends out a tweet about my wife. Okay? About my wife.
Wait a minute. Time out. You want to go into this whole diatribe and rant, but you don't want to read this horrible thing that he said?
There's no reason to bring attention to it, bully, because all I need to tell you is that the tweet was about my wife. Now, it's not like a little funny comment like you make, ha-ha, on the show. It was derogatory, it was filthy, and it was uncalled for.
Dave, after he made that comment, you fired back with a tweet.
Go ahead,
read
it.
Can I read that one?
Read it.
Dave said, "I hope you listen to Busted Open tomorrow because I am going to verbally destroy you. I hope Cody beats the F out of you." So as we suspected, boy, Dave might have had this brewing for a little bit here.
And I'm at, here's where I'm at this point where I don't know which way to go. So God forbid I ask for a little guidance from my producer and my co-host, but like, I don't know what to say here.
Well, wait a minute. Wait, how could you? I just went to social media and I read the MJF tweet. And now you want to talk about poking you and calling you out and calling you out on your man card? You don't know what to say? After I
I'm trying
read
to be
this
a
tweet,
professional.
No. Listen,
enough,
you pussy.
Enough.
Listen, I just read the tweet. If you don't, you know what? Do whatever you think is right.
You know
right.
What? You know what?
I know what I would. If,
no,
if
you know
that
what?
Kid,
you're right,
if that
bully.
Kid would have
you know
talked
what?
About velvet like
right.
that on social media.
You're right. You're right, okay? I wanted to come on here and be cool, calm, and collective, and I actually wanted to say something, but be professional, because I do have a job to do. But he crossed the line. There's no reason to bring up my wife. You know my wife. We have fun. I figured I'd introduce her to the nation because he's somebody that's actually involved in my life. And this guy took the opportunity to bring up my wife, derogatory, filthy, uncalled for, disgusting. And if I ever cross paths with the guy, and I don't give a shit, he's a wrestler. I don't know. You're right, because this is man to man. If I ever cross paths with that piece of shit, he's going to get a fist in the face. Now, I don't know if he could kick my ass. I don't know if he could put me in some kind of wrestling move. It doesn't matter, because you can't be crazy. And right now, he thinks he's funny with the remarks he makes on Twitter, but I'm a man that defends my family, and I'm fucking nuts. So if I ever cross paths with the guy, he's going to face crazy, and I'm nuts. Now, I can't ask the Busted Open Nation, nor would I ever ask the Busted Open Nation to advocate violence. Never. Because for them, it's not the proper place. But I will ask this, Bully. I would hope that any Busted Open Nation member that's going to be in Alabama on Wednesday for that show, or in any Wednesday on any AEW show, would at least have my back. And I want signs. I want fat. I want the nation to get right into that filthy piece of shit's face and tell him who he is and what he is. This is not some stupid wrestling storyline or angle. This is some guy that thinks he's funny going after my wife. So, again, fist to the face if I ever crossed paths with the guy, and I would hope that the nation would make this guy's life a living hell from here on out. Signs, Fathead, show him that you're a LaGreca supporter and you're not going to take this anymore. As a matter of fact, make a Violetta sign. I don't throw pierogies at him at AEW Dynamite. Something to let him know that this is not what you should do and this is uncalled for.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
Ricochet winning that match, he's going to face Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar coming out and giving Ricochet an F5. What did you think of the segment? What do you think of the matchup between Brock and Ricochet?
I think Brock is lucky he didn't pull a Titus O'Neil and go face first underneath the ring. They had about a minute left, and Brock was sprinting, and he almost I thought he almost tripped up over himself for a second, which would have been an epic disaster. But he got in there, he F5'd Ricochet. And, you know, they went off the air. I thought that was good. Brock's on TV more and more, which is great for the product. I love that they saved him for the end. It was a genuine surprise. Ricochet, Rollins, and Bobby, good match. Obviously, Ricochet in the ring always gets the job done. Backstage in that segment when he was talking about the match, though, oof.
Oof.
Sorry. Sorry, Ricochet. I like you, man. You know I like you personally. I shake your hand when I see you, and I always put you over. But, man, you gotta give me some more bass. You got to give me some more oomph and enthusiasm. I know you went out there and you won your match, and I get it. And winning the match is one thing, but you got to make me believe in you with your words. Nice guys don't get too far in this business, all right? You're coming off too nice, all right? So...
Well, Bully, yeah. I think it's...
you believe this kid? He wasted 7 freaking aprons on this guy. We got to toughen him up.
But, Bully, you're right in the fact that...
Oh, see, now you're all laughing and giddy. That didn't last long, huh?
Boy, you just can't let it go.
No, I'm just saying. Now you're all laughing and giddy and happy.
Well, we're talking about Raw from last night, and I'm trying
so what did you think of Brock Lesnar running in? Yeah, okay, whatever. Don't even talk, Dave. What did you think of Brock Lesnar running in?
I don't even know how I can do a show with you. You're an impossible person to work with.
That's fine. Then,
you know
then leave the studio.
You know,
I'll do the show by myself.
I'll do it by myself with the nation. Ever since that appearance on The Bump, you think you know who you are?
No, absolutely not. I thought who I was well before The Bump.
Yeah. You know, ratings increase and they, you know, all this other type of stuff. And all of a sudden you think you're, you know... I don't know.
No, you went to break. You went to break saying, "Oh, you want to laugh this up? You want to yuck?"
It's one thing talking about something that happened.
And now you're laughing your ass off.
It's one thing to talk about something that happened to me personally, Bully. I'm talking about the show that we watched and have to react to from last night.
What do you think is going to happen to Ricochet in that match with Brock Lesnar?
He's gonna lose.
But watch this. I guarantee you. I mean, is there any chance Ricochet wins?
No.
I bet you Brock Lesnar makes you think he's going to win.
Well, that's the magic of Brock.
Did you see the article in Sports Illustrated where Cena talked about Brock?
Yes.
Can't get any more higher praise than that. I don't think people realize how important Brock Lesnar is to the product and how important Brock Lesnar is, period, to professional wrestling.
And Cena said in a Sports Illustrated article that he feels that Brock Lesnar is the greatest in-ring performer of all time. Don't know if I exactly agree with that. As a matter of fact, I know I don't agree with it. But that being said, there is no doubt in anyone's mind, especially anyone that's watched WWE programming over the last couple of weeks, especially, that Brock Lesnar is something special in that ring.
Oh, absolutely. And I can never say all time because I think that stuff is, you know, it's beauty is in the eye of the beholder. It's subjective. I mean, it's hard to say that Shawn Michaels wasn't the greatest performer of all time. Because when it comes to performing the art of professional wrestling, Shawn is Man, that's about as top of the food chain as you can get. There's no flaws in Sean's game. But Brock, I bring Brock up because years and years, since I can remember, you know, starting on this show with you, all the Brock bashing and, you know, even you Brock bashing a bit, lots of fans. Brock is so important to this product. Brock does things. Here, let me give you a little thing, okay? Did you see Mojo Rawley take the Claymore last night?
Yes.
Did you see him turn his head?
Mm-hmm.
Turned his head so he wouldn't get kicked right in the face, right?
Yep.
Did you see Brock Lesnar turn his head when he took the Claymore at the Rumble?
No, he didn't. He took it square right in the face.
Square right in the face. No hands up, no heads turning. Why? Because Brock Lesnar knows how to get the mother trucker over.
Now, you mentioned the quote from John Cena. I know, Alex, you have the exact quote that Cena gave in Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, he was interviewed by Jimmy Trina at Sports Illustrated, and he was talking about how he watched the Royal Rumble, and he watched Brock's performance in the Rumble. So this is what Cena had to say. He said, quote, "I can say with the utmost sincerity that I believe Brock Lesnar is the best in-ring performer that I've seen, and I know it's an opinion, and if you want a cool quote, here it is. I think he's the best in-ring performer of all time. I thought his performance at the Rumble was a clinic on how to establish yourself, how to establish those around you, establish the championship, establish the importance of one event. He did so in less than 30 minutes, and I certainly don't have the skill set to do that, and it was awesome to be able to see a masterclass man put on a clinic on what to do and how to do it, and I was really impressed with the Rumble." So Jimmy says, "So you're saying Brock is the best ever?" And Cena says, "I really do think so. I genuinely think he has a good understanding of who he is. I think he's the best at when he needs to be dominant. He's the best in situations of jeopardy. He makes people better. He still has a mystique about him that will draw eyeballs to watch him, and when he does, he never disappoints."
I mean, you take the, I think he's the greatest ever. I mean, that's an opinion, and Cena says it's my opinion. Take that aside, everything else he said is spot on. Everything from realizing the moment, taking just a little time to get the entire, he said to get the entire event over, which he did on Sunday. And man, you talk about the mainstream appeal, you add that on top of it. It's hard to argue what John Cena said to Sports Illustrated.
I'm telling you, you take Brock out of the Rumble and you don't have the magic that this year's Rumble was. That's how important Brock Lesnar was to that match, to the product, to Drew McIntyre, to everything, to the fans. He's such an important cog in this giant machine that is the WWE. I've appreciated Brock from day one because I was around day one. I'll never forget the day they pulled me on the side and told me what they had in store for Brock and what they wanted me to do with Brock at the beginning, because I wasn't a diva with Devon at the time. I was working a mini program with Brock when he first started. And I remember sitting down with Brock one day. I don't remember the arena, but mm-hmm. We were sitting like seventh row right behind the announce desk. And I said to him, I said, "Brock, they're about to strap a rocket onto your back, the likes of which not many people get. So just kind of get ready because it's going to be an incredible ride." I think about that day as compared to where he is now. And to see how smart he is, there is nothing wasted with Brock Lesnar. Nothing. Nobody registers like Brock. Nobody sells like Brock. And when he does it, it means more because it's Brock doing it. Am I telling you that Brock Lesnar is smoother or better or more elegant or graceful than Randy Orton in a ring? Nope. But I'm telling you, Brock is so damn smart and knows exactly what he's doing when it comes to getting people over. Brock is old school. He knows at the end of the day that getting somebody over is as important, if not more important, than getting yourself over. Because if you're getting somebody else over, getting yourself over comes with the territory.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Man, a lot of infighting, a lot of fighting with the nation, a lot of frustration, a lot of anger. and a lot of feedback from the Busted Open Nation. I appreciate it, and I appreciate how passionate the nation is, whether they're angry at me or not. And we're going to continue getting the pulse of the nation. And, Bully, there's somebody on the line. It's an anonymous caller, wants to remain nameless. So I'm a little nervous taking this phone call, but let's go to him right now. And how are you today?
Oh, I'm great. I just wanted to ask you a quick question. How does it feel knowing that after Wednesday, when MJF is done whipping the absolute dog shit and making Cody Rhodes quit live on national television, that he's going to walk into your home, grab your wife by the arm, and throw her straight on the Maximum Ride?
Oh, my God.
Are you shitting me right now?
No, I'm not, Dave. And I got to tell you something. You know what really makes me sick to my stomach? There's a lot of things that make me sick to my stomach. Namely, first, number one, Cody Rhodes. Secondly, what makes me sick to my stomach is the fact that you are yelling at your poor co-host. These are good people. These are gentle, kind people. You're screaming at them. I have to listen to this insincere apology, and you want to come at me? Allow me to explain. No, Dave, you speak when I tell you you can speak. Allow me to explain something to you and all of your stupid little nation fanboys. Okay, here's what happened. You decided to fire off a tweet at me. Bully, correct or incorrect, did the first tweet, did I say anything that Dave LaGreca? No. Who fired off the first tweet, Bully?
It was LaGreca.
You're damn right it was. And what did I do? All I did was I simply stated that I, MJF, the youngest and fastest rising star in the history of professional wrestling, I'm going to whip the ever-loving daylights out of Cody Rhodes, your best friend, right, Dave? And then I'm going to have a good time with your wife. Now, you decided to say that you were going to punch me in the face the next time you saw me. Well, guess what, Dave? Here's what I'm going to tell you. You know where I live. I live in Plainview, Long Island, New York. I'm sure it would be very easy to find out where I am at. And, hell, if you want, I'll DM you my address. Matter of fact, since you have all these big fans, I'm sure, in Alabama, which is where this Wednesday the show will be held, I invite all your friends. How about you all jump the guardrail? How about you punch me in the face for Dave? How about you guys do that? Because here's the thing. All of you people, you're nothing. You're minimal. You're meaningless. You are mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging, pimpled-up marks. And I am sick and no Dave. And
no,
I'm
let me... Wait a second. Let me tell you something. There's a line that you do not cross. And when you go on social media and you say something about my wife, that's something you cannot come back from. Now, maybe to you, that's a little bit of a little quib to put out there on social media. And you're right. I do want to see you get your comeuppance. But there's one thing you do not do, and you don't come after a loved one. And you don't go after my wife in a vulgar way, the way that you did it. It's uncalled for.
Dave, allow me to explain something to you. I do what I want. I say what I want because I can. Quite frankly, it's just that simple, because I can. And the other thing is, you're rooting for somebody. You're rooting for Cody Rhodes, a guy who is, in truth, the villain here. There's a reason I'm whipping this man 10 times across the back. It's not because he's a happy-go-lucky guy. It's because he decided he wanted to hold me down. He wanted to make me a walk behind her. And how ironic is that, that his own father, his own words must have been echoing in his mind, and he was still completely capable of holding me under his thumb. That's the guy you want to root for?
It's so not even about rooting for. It's about that guy.
Talk about your wife all day.
Let me tell you something.
Okay.
A guy like Cody will take the 10 lashes and not blink an eye because he's a man.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And I'm a man. So you think
Are
you could just on social yeah, you think you could say whatever you want about my wife? I don't give a shit. Listen, at the end of the day, you're a professional athlete and I'm not. So I'm sure you could kick my ass. That there is no question about that. There is no question about that. But
so
I'll be damned if I'm going to let you say something about my wife. You don't even know my wife.
Dave, wouldn't you like to think that? Dave, well, I'm going to say one more thing. I'm going to hang this phone up, okay? On TV land, there are a lot of things you can counter-program, and I'm not one of them. There are a lot of things you could try to counter-program, and I'm not one of them. And I am damn sure that me making Cody Rhodes say, "I quit, no more, finito," as I'm whipping him across the back, is going to be TV gold, because that's what I am. I'm TV gold. You know what's really gold, though, Dave? Your wife's pierogies. and I am going to be filled to the brim with your wife pierogies after I am done whipping the holy hell out of your and everybody else's hero, Cody Rhodes. Good day, sir. Bully, it was great hearing for you, bud.
Unbelievable. And this is a guy, Bully, that you defend? This is a guy that you think has fun and it's funny? There's nothing, I mean nothing funny about what I just heard from that guy. Nothing.
I don't know. It might not be funny, but he just called into the show and bitched you out like nobody has ever done before, and you let it happen.
I did not let it happen, Bull.
Oh, yes, you did.
And this is where I need you to have my back. Because you want to know something?
Dude,
you want to know something?
I'm an alpha, okay? You're a beta. Okay, I hang with other alphas. He just called into your show, as you like to call it, and verbally eviscerated you.
It ain't happening.
Put whatever words
I'm gonna get the last word.
And
I'm gonna get the last word. I'm gonna get the last word. Because you think it's a joke and you think it's funny and it's not. And I mean every single thing that I say. If I ever cross paths with that guy, he's gonna eat my fist.
Dude, I hope for your sake, you do what you say you're going to do, because I will ride you until the end of time if you don't live up to your own words. If anybody would ever speak about Velvet like that in front of me, I would punch through their chest cavity, rip their heart out, and eat it in front of them.
I don't know what to say here because there's nothing really to say. This is at the point where it needs to get physical.
Okay. I would buy a ticket. I would show up tomorrow. I'd get down to the front row. I would jump the rail. Do to him on live TV what he just did to you on your live radio show.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.